ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ति स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. So we are seeing Mundakopanishad. So today, I am just going straight away to Mantra 9. As I said, the idea, the aim of the Upanishad is revealing Brahma Vidya. To reveal the truth. Because the very word Upanishad means Brahma Vidya, which we know very well. So, the different, the Swarupam was discussed earlier. Then Bhagavan, the reality was presented as the Lord, which means the reality is also presented as the cause of the universe, ultimately to arrive at the reality. So in the ninth verse also, how the reality is the only source of knowledge, and reality is the source of all knowledge. Reality itself is of the nature of knowledge. To arrive at that fact, Upanishad presents a different verse, and even Ishvara will become very clear if you understand this particular mantra. Yas sarvajna sarvavid. Yas sarvajna sarvavid. Yasya jnanamayam tapaha. Yasya jnanamayam tapaha. Tasmadetad brahma nama. Tasmadetad brahma nama. Rupamannancha jayate. Yasarvajna sarvavid. Yasya jnanamayam tapaha. Tasmadetad brahma nama. Rupamannancha jayate. So in this verse also, the universe is discussed. So when the universe is discussed, the cosmology is presented. Idea is we are going to understand the reality with reference to the universe. So here the first expression. So now we move on from the word reality to Ishvaraha, the Lord. So the absolute reality, the ultimate truth implied by the term Brahma is in fact given Ishvara's status. See, the reality without the reality, this universe cannot exist. No life is possible. No action is possible. No enjoyment of results is possible. No experience of pairs of opposites is possible. So it means everything is essentially the reality. And the reality alone is given here the Ishvara status. The people who are religious, who are highly worshipful, prayerful, and who follow different faiths, were given to certain belief system also. We all worship the Lord. Without knowing who the Lord is, how the Lord is, somehow we've been worshippers and we've been religious. But here, who is that Lord? According to Upanishad, There is no Ishwaraha, the Lord, other than the truth. If at all we worship the Lord, that Lord is essentially nothing but the very reality. Therefore, the reality alone is there as the Lord. So if we hear, he said, Yaha Sarvajnaha Sarvavid Yasya Jnanamayam Tapaha Tasmad Etad Brahma Nama Rupamannancha Jayate. The mantra doesn't have many words, doesn't have complete sentences. So here, Yaha Sarvajnaha Sarvavit Yasya Jnanamayam Tapaha Tasmad Yetat Brahma Nama Rupam Annam Cha Jayate. This is the mantra here. As I said, here in this mantra also, again the universe is taken for discussion. And here, which means the entire universe is taken for discussion, in the universe is accepted first as the creation. Even though we are expected to understand the fact that there is no creation at all, this acceptance of the universe as creation in the beginning, which means universe is an effect, karyam. If the universe is karyam, there must be a cause from which the universe has come into existence. And that cause is in fact karanam. So what is that karanam? What is that cause without which this effect called universe cannot exist? That karanam is Ishwaraha, the Lord. So jagat karanam Ishwaraha. Jagataha karanam Ishwaraha. When you present the reality as the cause of the universe, that is when reality is given Ishwara's status. I'm repeating the sentence. When the reality is presented as the cause of the universe, then reality is given the Ishwara's status. So the cause of the universe is Ishwaraha, because the whole universe is effect karyam. Which means the creator of the universe is Ishwara. So creation presupposes two important factors. Creation presupposes knowledge. To create anything, we need jnanam. So creation presupposes jnanam. Any creation presupposes knowledge. To bake your bread, you need jnanam. Previous, how to bake your bread? Either you can't do it. So jnanam, the knowledge must be there. Not simply knowledge, also the skill, a specific skill in specific thing. Skill and knowledge. So Ishwara is the one who is endowed with the skill and knowledge. Therefore Ishwara is the Nimitta Karanam. Not just the Nimitta Karanam. Even creation presupposes the material cause out of which something is produced, created. So for this, there is a nimitta upadana karanam also is required. And the upadana karanam of this jagat also is Ishwara. Nimitta karanam of this jagat also is Ishwara. In fact, both these causes are inseparable. We've already seen that beautiful mantra earlier. Urna nabihi. So both the causes or Ishwara. Therefore, abhinna nimitta upadana karanam Ishwaraha Brahma. One inseparable, intelligent and material cause of the universe to constitute Ishwara is none other than Brahma, the reality. So, any maker needs to have the knowledge, a specific knowledge of what he or she wants to make. So, ghatakarta ghatam, ghatakarta ghatajnaha. The maker of pot is a knower of pot, which means he knows how to make a pot. Patakarta patajnaha. The person who produces cloth, manufacturer of cloth, he must know how to make it. Patajnaha ghatajnaha. Like that, any maker must be of that, must have the specific knowledge how to make it. Whereas Bhagavan here is karta of the samagrasya jagat, samagragyaha, sarvagyaha. The one who has knowledge of everything, the creator of everything, must be having all knowledge. Therefore, sarvagyaha, sarvam janati iti sarvagyaha. Sarvam janati iti sarvagyaha. In fact, that the gyaha, the root itself is gnya, to know. Janati is the verb, actual root is gnya. Therefore, sarvam janati iti sarvagyaha. So, Bhagavan is the all knowledge, the all sorts of all knowledge is Bhagavan. All knowledge manifest is Bhagavan. All knowledge is Bhagavan sarvagyaha. Because here illumining is creating, knowing is creating. All knowledge, the source of knowledge is not outside of Ishvara. The source of knowledge is Ishvara. All knowledge is Ishvara. It was sarvajnaha. If all knowledge is Ishvara, the source of all knowledge is Ishvara, which means Ishvara is beginningless, endless, changeless, timeless reality, essentially. Ishvara is timeless reality. And Ishvara is all knowledge means knowledge also cannot have creation, beginning. Knowledge has no beginning. If knowledge has no beginning, we need to understand the fact that knowledge is not created newly. No, knowledge is not produced, created newly. All knowledge is already there as the very source of knowledge. The knowledge which is unmanifest can become manifest. The knowledge which is unmanifest is given the name ignorance. When it is manifest, is called knowledge. So, when it is unmanifest also, it is not outside of Ishvara. When it is manifest also, it is not Ishvara. And that Ishvara, who is the source of knowledge, in whom there is manifest or unmanifest, is nothing but very reality. And this knowledge manifest alone is given, in fact, is nothing but looked upon as power of Ishvara. Power of Ishvara. Ishvara shaktihi vyakta shaktihi jnanam avyakta shaktihi ajnanam. The unmanifest power of the Lord is called ignorance. The manifest power of the Lord is called knowledge. So manifest or unmanifest, power of the Lord doesn't exist independently outside of the Lord, who is another than the very reality. So power is nothing but jnanam. Shaktihi is knowledge. Power is knowledge. Knowing is the power. Knowing is the swarupam. Knowing is the power. This power unmanifest is called ignorance. Power manifest is called jnanam. Whether ignorance the unmanifest or the knowledge the manifest, power doesn't exist independently outside of Ishvara, who is another than the very reality. Therefore, what is the source of the power? Power manifest is knowledge. Therefore, source of power is source of knowledge. Power of reality, power of Ishvara manifest is knowledge, means source of the power is the source of knowledge. Powerful is the knowledgeful. Powerful Lord is knowledgeful Lord. Shaktiman Ishvaraha is Jnanavan Ishvaraha. Shaktimat Brahma is Jnanamat Brahma. Power and knowledge are not two different things. Knowledge is power. Power is knowledge. If it is manifest, is called jnanam. Unmanifest is called ignorance. And the source of manifest power, source of unmanifest power is Ishvara, the reality. Therefore, source of knowledge is Ishvara, which means the unmanifest, the source of unmanifest and manifest power is Ishvara. Therefore, source of knowledge and ignorance is Ishvara. Knowledge and ignorance doesn't exist outside of Ishvara. Really speaking, knowledge, the power manifest is knowledge. Therefore, what actually is only knowledge. There is no such a thing called ignorance at all. Knowledge, because manifest is knowledge. Unmanifest is ignorance, means what? Everything can become manifest. What actually is the source of the power is source of knowledge. And the source of knowledge is very knowledge itself. Pure knowledge itself. Therefore, here two different titles are we seen here. Sarvajnaha and Sarvavith. What is the difference? Sarvajnaha also means all-knowing, omniscient Lord. Sarvavith also means all-knowing, omniscient Lord. Why does Shastram use two different words which mean the same? Because here, knowledge, any specific knowledge, detailed knowledge is different from general knowledge. You can see a flower, you may know the name of the flower, the color of the flower, how many petals it has, etc. you may have. But the detailed knowledge, why the flower is of that color, why does the flower have different fragrance, how the flower it blooms, why only those many number of petals, what, how, like the detailed knowledge. There's everything that is here is nothing but bundle of detailed knowledge. So detailed knowledge we may not have. The detailed knowledge also is not outside of Ishvara. Any detail of anything is not outside of Ishvara, source of all knowledge. So Bhagavan is the only source of all details, detailed knowledge of everything here. Therefore, Bhagavan is called Sarvavit. Sarvajna means the source of all knowledge, all knowing, omniscient. Suppose if a person who discovers the truth, a wise person who discovers the reality, Brahma Jnani, Atma Jnani is also said to be Sarvajna. But a wise person, a Brahma Jnani, Atma Jnani cannot be called Sarvavit. Sarvavit is a unique status attributed only to Bhagavan, only to Ishvara. Even though Sarvajna is a title given to any wise person. Because one who has discovered the source of all knowledge, the very reality, Brahma, as one's own Swarupam, which alone is Satyam, the wise person who knows the truth, who knows the reality, which is the only source of all knowledge, which alone is Satyam, is also said to be Sarvajna, the knower of all-knowing reality, the knower of all sorts of knowledge, the reality, the knower of all sorts of knowledge, the reality is said to be Sarvajna. But even though he has the knowledge of the reality, a wise person cannot have, does not have, impossible to have, for him to know the detailed knowledge of everything because of the limitation of the mind. So he can never become Sarvavit. Sarvavit is only Ishvara, the specific knowledge of everything, detailed knowledge of everything only Ishvara can have. Anyway, so here, and Sarvajna, all detailed knowledge or general knowledge or specific knowledge, any source of all knowledge is reality. The Ishvara who is essentially nothing but reality. So here Sarvajna, Sarvavit, Yasya Jnanamayam Tapaha. Yasya tapaha jnanamayam. So tapaha here, literally it is translated as penance. But here, tapaha, jnanamayam tapaha. Tapas is jnanam here. See how accomplishment of anything presupposes adequate, appropriate effort, which is called tapas. And here, for Bhagavan, as Ishvara also, must have had some tapas for bringing this universe into manifestation, which is otherwise said to be creation of the Lord. See, the universe, unmanifest universe, becoming manifest is looked upon as creation of the universe. And here, the source of knowledge of this universe, also in as Ishvara, as source of knowledge of the universe, also must have had some tapas. And that tapas, what is the tapas? What was the effort involved on the part of Ishvara for bringing this unmanifest universe into manifestation? What is the tapas? So here tapas is jnanamayam. Tapas, tapaha actually should be taken as tapas. sakarantaha napumsakalingaha tapashabdaha. Therefore, jnanamayam tapaha. Not jnanamayaha tapaha. It is not a masculine gender word. Seeing the visarga, don't mistake it for a masculine gender word. It is a sakaranta neutral gender word. Therefore, jnanamayam tapaha. Tapas is here visualization. Visualization, visualizing the whole jagat is tapas. The question may arise, how come this word visualization or visualizing the universe is used here? That is tapas. Visualization is tapas. Because why do we say that Bhagavan visualized the universe before its manifestation or before its creation? Not creation, before it becomes manifest, Bhagavan visualized the creation. That visualization is what meant by the word jnan tapaha. That is the effort involved here. And the tapas is jnanamayam. Because visualization presupposes knowledge. How can there be visualization if there is no knowledge? Why is this expression visualization used here? Because this entire cosmos, which has become manifest, is not a sudden, not suddenly brought into existence. Which means the whole universe, the manifestation, is not a process which happens randomly. Because whatever comes into existence in this universe, everything originates, everything comes into existence in keeping with the law. There is a law involved. Everything exists within the realm of law and order. Nothing exists here which is not within the realm of the law and order. So everything originates, everything comes into existence, everything exists, everything resolves, everything disappears in within the realm of the law and order. So everything is according to the law. Therefore, in fact, we can say different disciplines of different branches of science are also nothing but the revelation of the law, understanding everything involves law. Any branch of any science involves law. It means existence presupposes knowledge, and that existence which presupposes knowledge doesn't exist outside of the law and order. Everything is within the realm of law and order. Therefore, everything takes its own. Because of this, this law is involved. Therefore, nothing happens suddenly. There's a cause behind everything. Therefore, Upanishad presents this as though Ishvara visualized. Before the universe comes into existence, Ishvara visualized everything. That is why different people have different dates of birth, different parentage, different places of birth, difference in everything, because everything, the place of birth, time of birth, parents of birth, you know, even the cultural background of the family, everything is determined by law, because it's birth has to happen appropriately. Everything has to hold appropriately, so that everything, even the karma can be exhausted also appropriately. Therefore, it's not that, oh, somebody is born poor, somebody is born rich, somebody is born intelligent. It doesn't happen because of Bhagavan's partiality. That's why there's no process which happens randomly. Everything is within the realm of law and order. Which means, if the law is involved, means the order is involved, means the order must be backed by knowledge. Do you understand? Nothing happens randomly here. Everything, there is a process, everything is within the realm of the law and order. I mean, the law presupposes knowledge. Order, law and order presupposes knowledge. Therefore, what caused this universe? What caused this universe? Manifestation of this universe? Or what caused this so-called creation of the universe? If we ask, definitely, the creation, the universe, the manifestation of universe is in fact an order. The manifestation itself is nothing but happening within the realm of an order. Manifestation of the universe is creation of the universe. The creation of the universe is nothing but happening within the realm of law and order. An orderly happening. An orderly happening. Therefore, Upanishads, here the word tapas, we understand I am discussing the word tapas now. Tapas implies, the penance implies, the effort involved. The effort, actually Bhagavan does not need to make any effort. The effort again implies here visualization. Visualization implies that this creation is a thing but manifestation. The unmanifest universe becoming manifest is creation. For the universe to become manifest also, now there is a, it's not sudden creation, sudden manifestation. It is a process involved. It means, therefore, it is presented as visualized. Ishvara visualized the universe. Which means Ishvara visualized the whole cosmos before creating it, before bringing it into manifestation. Means Ishvara actually visualizes the laws involved in the creation. All the natural laws, all the laws and order involved in the creation, are visualized. So laws have to be visualized before you, for the sake of the universe. So Shastram alone discusses this natural, universal, natural, moral law and order. This universal, natural, moral law and order is not comp- comprehensible for a scientist. Scientists also, the discipline of science does discuss law, every discipline of science discuss laws, but here the Shastra revealed the law is actually universal, natural, moral law and order. So this universal, natural, moral law and order is otherwise said to be, karma, theory of karma. We say law of karma. And the laws of karma is theory of karma. Theory means, again, jnana for us, because I'm using that expression, the academic expression. The laws of karma involve the results of actions in terms of punyam and papam. The laws which govern the results of actions. Are Ishvara. And here these laws of action involve punyam and papam. So when the universe is brought into manifestation, or when the universe becomes manifest, which is otherwise looked upon as creation in our language, actually these all punya papams, all the results of actions are taken into account. So creation of universe is manifestation of universe. Manifestation of universe involves actually presupposes consideration of all punya papams. So, which jiva should assume which shariram? Male body or a female body? Male human body or animal body or a plant body or insect body? So, which body is appropriate for which jiva in order to exhaust the specific karma phalam? It's all determined by the law and order. That is why this manifestation of the universe doesn't happen randomly. Means the laws are involved. Therefore, there is an order is involved. Therefore, we say it is looked upon as tapas. And suppose for these laws to be functional, for the laws to determine everything, also the laws presuppose. The law of karma presupposes, law and order presupposes knowledge. That knowledge, the source of that knowledge is Ishvara. That knowledge is Ishvara. Manifest knowledge is Ishvara. The source of knowledge is Ishvara. The knowledge which backs up the order is also Ishvara. Our order is Ishvara. And all the beings which exist within the realm of law and order are Ishvara. Therefore, so karma, that is what is the tapasa chiyat. We already have seen tapasa chiyate brahma, and the same tapas, this is the very important, usually people who do tattva, this Mundaka Upanishad, always miss the proper unfoldment of the expression tapas in this mantra. Puja Swamiji always make it very clear. The word tapas. What tapas does Bhagavan have to create this universe? The tapas actually implies the visualization. Visualization doesn't, Bhagavan doesn't sit and see what should I do, how to create this. that we need to visualize before creating something, before baking your bread or making your roti or whatever you have to do, and we have to plan out our work, then we work out our plan. So visualization is important on our part. Like that, Bhagavan also visualize means the visualization is an expression used to mean tapas, which implies that nothing comes simply. Bhagavan is not partial. Everything is determined by the natural, universal, natural moral law and order, and which is backed by knowledge. And that knowledge is Bhagavan, the source of knowledge is Bhagavan, who is none other than essentially the very reality. This is how Brahma. You can understand here. So, Sarvajnaha you understood, Sarvavid you understood, Jnanamayam Tapaha, Yasya Tapaha Jnanamayam. Whose visualization presupposes knowledge. Tasmad etat brahmanama. Tasmad etat brahmanama. So, we see the whole jagat as what? Karanam and karyam. The whole universe is nothing but inseparable karanam and karyam. The karyam is non-separate from karanam. So karanam is inseparable from the karyam, which means we look at the whole Ishvara is the jagat karanam, means the intelligent cause is Ishvara, material cause is Ishvara. Therefore the whole jagat is Ishvara. Jagat is non-separate from Ishvara. Ishvara is inseparable from the jagat. Therefore all that is, there is only Ishvara. And that Ishvara is the source of all knowledge, and the source of the knowledge is Jnana Surupaha, Jnana Rupaha. Tapas also is Jnanamayam Tapaha, it is said. Now, so we say this, if the knowledge of anything known in the world is knowledge of the effect. Knowledge of the known is knowledge of the world, which is knowledge of the world is knowledge of the effect. So now I'm repeating it. Knowledge of the known is knowledge of the world. Knowledge of the world is knowledge of the effect, which is otherwise called aparavidya. Knowledge of the knower of the known is knowledge of one's own swarupam, knowledge of the source of knowledge is paravidya. So knowledge of the source of knowledge, knowledge of the knower, knowledge of one's own swarupam is paravidya. And paravidya, aparavidya, the source of paravidya and aparavidya is the reality, which is otherwise looked upon as Ishvara. So paravidya, aparavidya, the knower, known, cause, effect, for everything, source of everything is only reality, only truth, who is given the Ishvara title here, Ishvara status here. Tasmat etat brahmanama. And why now this Ishvara, the source of aparavidya, the source of paravidya, source of all knowledge, is the limitless reality Brahma. Brahmanama. Ishvara is essentially, who is the Lord here? Let us not go and search for Lord in any form. All the forms are Ishvara. All the names are Ishvara. All functions are Ishvara. All laws are Ishvara. All knowledge is Ishvara. And all experiences are Ishvara. Under who is this Ishvara? This Ishvara is essentially nothing but formless reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, pure consciousness implied by the term Brahma. Tasmad etat Brahma nama. So formless reality obtaining in every form is Ishvara, even though Ishvara is essentially formless. All forms are Ishvara, but Ishvara is formless essentially. All words are Ishvara, all knowledge is Ishvara, the Ishvara is nameless, not nameable reality. Therefore, tasmad etat Brahma nama. Therefore, and Ishvaraha, the Lord, even though the word in Sanskritam Ishvaraha is a masculine gender word, actually implies formless reality, the pure consciousness. And we know consciousness is a beginningless, endless, changeless, timeless reality, which means the whole creation, the entire universe is manifestation of consciousness. So consciousness manifest is the universe. And this consciousness is endowed with the power of becoming manifest, becoming unmanifest also. Consciousness is endowed with the power of becoming manifest, becoming unmanifest. And this power of becoming manifest and becoming unmanifest is technically known in Shastram as Maya. Therefore, when the reality, the pure consciousness, understood with its power, Maya alone is given Ishvara title. There is no other Ishvara, there is no other God, Lord, according to Upanishads. We only see the only reality with its inexplicable power called Maya alone is called Ishvaraha. So Ishvaraha, when you understand, essentially the pure consciousness with its inexplicable anirvachaniya shakti called Maya is Ishvara. And this Ishvara Swarupam is knowledge, therefore the source of knowledge is Ishvara. The source of detailed knowledge is Ishvara. Those are general knowledge is Ishvara. The knowledge, all laws which govern the self of action, the law and order within the realm of which everything exists comes into manifestation is Ishvara. Knowledge backing the law and order is Ishvara. For everything is Ishvara. So, Jnanamayam tapas, tasmat means, from that, tasmat is the third person singular pronoun tat. And tasmat means what? From that. From that means what? From that Brahma. From what is it which is implied by the word Brahma? Pure knowledge, pure consciousness, pure awareness. But from pure awareness, we have to don't say here. Instead of saying consciousness, we add its power. from that powerful reality. The word tasmat means from that powerful reality. We'll say from that powerful reality, tasmat means from that Lord. From that Lord means from that powerful reality. From that powerful reality means from consciousness with its inexplicable power called Maya. We understand tasmat etat brahmanama. I'm explaining the word tasmat. Tasmat means what? From that. From that means what? From that Ishvara. From that Ishvara means what? From that Ishvara means from that consciousness with its inexplicable power called Maya. Okay, is Ishvara. Now, etat brahma, from that Ishvara, etat brahma. So, etat brahma means this brahma. From the tasmat stands for Ishvara, and etat stands for, etat means, etat brahma means this brahma. So, from that Ishvara, this brahma means what? Etat Brahma means the totality of Antahkaranani, all minds put together, Samashti Manaha. Etat Brahma is equal to Samashti Manaha. Samashti Manaha means Hiranya Garbhaha. So from that Ishvara, Hiranya Garbhaha, you know, has come into existence. Tasmat etat brahmanama means what? From that Ishvara, Hiranya Garbha has come into existence. Etat brahma, the word etat brahma, means this brahma stands for the samashti manaha. Samashti manaha implies Hiranya, means Hiranya Garbha. Then, tasmat, now you know the word tasmat, from that Ishvara, etat brahma means this samashti manaha, in terms of Hiranyagarbha originated, then what? Nama rupamannam cha jayate. From Ishvara alone, Hiranyagarbha. Then what? Nama rupamannam cha jayate. Nama rupamannam cha jayate. This verse also discusses creation. So the teaching is not yet over. I'm only explaining simply the mantra now. Wait to see what is the final lesson we need to understand from this mantra. I wait to explain to you. Time permits, I'll do it today or I'll teach later on. But anyway, so here, tasmat means Ishwarat. Ishwarat means what? From consciousness with its inexplicable power called Maya, which alone is given the Ishwara title. From that Ishvara, this samashti manaha, totality of minds, I was called Hiranyagarbha, originated. Then, rupam annam cha jayate. Nama rupam annam cha jayate. So, Hiranyagarbha, subtle manifestation. So Ishvara stands for unmanifest universe. And Hiranyagarbha stands for subtle manifestation. Then Nama Rupam Cha. Nama Rupam means what? Name and form. Name and form. Nama, name, Rupam, form, Cha, and. So, Nama Rupam Cha means name and form. Name and form implies all the products, all the forms, names and forms, because everything which exists, anything which is existent as product in this universe is nothing but form and a given name. A form denoted by a given name is a product. A given form denoted by a given name is creation, a product. Which means form and name alone, forms come into manifestation. Unmanifest forms become manifest. Unmanifest names become manifest. But substance, the substantives are created. The forms indicated by the substantives are created, but the substance is not created at all. There's no such a thing called creation of substance. In fact, even substantives are not created. The substantives are unmanifest, they become manifest. The forms are unmanifest. Unmanifest forms become manifest. Unmanifest names become manifest. Unmanifest functions become manifest. But the substance there's no such a thing called creation of substance. I mean, nothing is created, nothing is destroyed. This is a fact which we know very well. Therefore, the whole cosmos, the entire universe, is not a creation, which is a manifestation. The same manifestation means manifestation is only of the forms, names and functions. The source of forms, names and functions is always there. The forms, names and functions become manifest. So manifestation of forms, names and functions is manifestation of the source of forms, names and functions. Therefore, tasmat rupam nama annam. Jayate. Jayate means comes into existence. The substance is not created. Consciousness is not created. It does not begin. The beginningless reality. So annam actually means food. The food is also actually nothing but a word denoting a given form. Therefore, the food, if we also comes into existence. Because for all the living beings which come into existence, if they need to survive, if they have to live, then food also must be there. Along with forms, names and functions, along with the living beings, the food, the form and name of food also comes into existence from Ishvara. Tasmat idam brahm etat brahma, tasmat rupam nama, tasmat annam. Means what? The gross universe also has the annam, nama, rupa. Annam stand for gross universe also. So the gross universe also is manifestation of Ishvara. Hatra universe also is manifestation of Ishvara. Unmanifest world also nothing but Ishvara. Ishvara nothing but consciousness with this inexplicable power called Maya. And this manifestation and everything becoming manifest is within the realm of law and order. The universal natural moral law and order, The order is also Ishvara. Knowledge backing up the order is also Ishvara. The source of all knowledge is Ishvara. Essentially, Ishvara is the reality, which is nothing but pure knowledge. That is the lesson we understand here. So what is in this universe, if we see, Annam is Ishvara. Why? Annam, Annam is nothing but form and name. Nama Rupa, substantive. And the substance of Annam is Ishvara, which is the truth. Not only Annam, what about the other forms and names, other beings who require Annam to survive? They're also Nama Rupa, forms, names and functions. What about the subtle manifestation? That's also Ishvara. The laws are Ishvara. Everything essentially Ishvara is knowledge. Pure knowledge, which is nothing but Param Brahma, Nirgunam Brahma, absolute reality. So Ishvara is Sagunam Brahma, and the source of essentially Ishvara is Nirgunam Brahma. Therefore, all the T-series is only Brahma, only Ishvara. And this knowledge, the appreciation of Ishvara as pure knowledge, a source of knowledge, and appreciation of Ishvara, the whole cosmos as Ishvara, is also Paravidya. The understanding is also Paravidya. So the teacher presented the knowledge of the absolute reality, otherwise called Paravidya, this mantra. And in following mantras, we'll be seeing again what was discussed earlier. The Paravidya and Aparavidya will be further elaborately discussed in the following mantras. See, it's not simply mechanically listening to this unfoldment like this. What is that we should really understand here is, nothing which happens, which exists outside of the order means there is an order involved in everything, means we appreciate Ishvara. That is how Ishvara Prasada Buddhi is also possible. We never retaliate, we never question why this has happened, how could this happen, why it should happen for me, why this has not happened for other people. These questions will, with the intelligent, they will resolve. We can intelligently, thoughtfully, consciously resolve these questions. Have these questions resolved, just simply by understanding the fact that Ishvara is in the form of universal, natural, moral, law and order, which is backed by the pure knowledge, which is nothing but Ishvara Swarupam, which alone is implied by the word Brahma. There is nothing which is outside of order. Your understanding is there, only then really Ishvara Prasada Buddhi is possible. Everything which comes in life, happens in life is Prasada. Why? Everything is in the realm of order. Okay. I've been talking. Have I made anything clear or not? Please let me know.
Okay. Sometimes we take Karnam as matter. Sometimes as food.
Please make it very clear. I can't hear you very clearly.
Mm-hmm. So we say Tasmad Etad Brahma Nama Rupam Annam Chajayate.
Yeah.
In the last line. Sometimes we take Annam as matter, sometimes as food.
Yeah. See, the word Annam, Okay, complete it. Let me hear from you totally, then completely, then I can answer. Tell me. Yes, Sachin, tell me. Yeah, the word annam literally means food. Okay, food means that which is taken in is aharaha, is annam. Ahriyate iti annam. Ahara. That which is taken in is food. So literally the food which we eat for survival is also food. All the sense objects which are perceived through sense organs, which are taken to your mind are also said to be food. But food literally also means what? Anything perceived, taken in is a matter, also is called annam. In different contexts, different places. Isn't it? So the word annam, in Taittiriya you say annam is matter itself. You will see that actually. But here, because the Upanishads, the mantras are not very elaborate, not proper sentences, and they briefly present every mantra is loaded with information. So much we need to understand. That's why we need the unfoldment, we need Shankara's commentary, we need unfoldment of the commentary and the mantras. So, tasma annam cha jayate. See, in one sentence, Ishvara, Hiranyagarbha, Virat, all the three are brought out here. Okay. Finally, just to say, aim is to help us understand what is absolutely real. What is absolutely real, ultimately real, is the reality implied by the term Brahma, which is the Swarupam of everything, your own Swarupam. That is where I-sense has to be resolved. That is where I-sense must be resolved. I am Brahma. Aham Brahma Asmi must become very clear. There's nothing which is superior or greater or bigger or beyond that reality. So that reality alone is actually here as a source of manifestation of the universe which is not created. The universe is elements and elementals are there in the form of the universe. Available in innumerable countless forms, names and functions. This universe becomes manifest and becomes unmanifest. And for which there must be a substratum. Substratum is Brahma. So here we also bring into the, as a cause, look at the reality as the cause, we, Ishvara status is given. Therefore for that reality also, we say reality with this inexplicable, inseparable power of becoming manifest and becoming unmanifest, otherwise called Maya, I said, with that power we call Antaryami Ishwaraha. From that Ishwara alone, the subtle universe, subtle manifestation is possible. It is subtle, all something called mind. Mind is a manifestation. Thoughts are manifestations. All innumerable, all varieties of thoughts which constitute one mind, which constitute different minds, which thought constitute all minds. So the totality of Antakarana is Samashti Manaha, is in what? Hiranyagarbha, we give a name, different name. So totality of subtle manifestation, we can include actually even totality of pranas. What about the subtle factors? What about the sense organs? All sense organs, subtle sense powers, subtle physiological functions, subtle minds, all of them put together is what? Totality of subtle manifestation. Samashti Sukshma Prapanchaha is nothing but manifestation of the same Ishvara reality. Therefore, given a different name, Hiranyagarbha, and that Hiranyagarbha, the total subtle manifestation is meant, implied by the term, Etad Brahma. So usually Brahma, that word Etad Brahma, this subtle manifestation is actually from that Ishvara, who is essentially the reality with its power. So from Tasmat, from Antaryami Ishwarat, Yeshaha Hiranyagarbha Jayate. Subtle manifestation is there. And then through the subtle, the grass forms names and functions, which constitute the grass universe, also becomes manifest. And the grass universe is meant by these three words, rupam, nama, rupam, annam cha jayate. Those three words stand for Virat. So Virat, Hiranyagarbha, grass manifestation, subtle manifestation, all are from the unmanifest. Unmanifest? The unmanifest is Maya, which is not outside of Ishvara, and that it is Ishvara's power, and that Ishvara is essentially nothing but pure knowledge. Param Brahma. Is it clear? The gross matter, subtle matter, unmanifest matter. In fact, there's no matter at all. Finally, we say what? There is no matter at all.
Can I check whether I've understood something?
Pardon?
Oh, can I check whether I've understood something?
Yeah.
At various points you've said the purpose of studying creation is to understand that essentially there's no creation.
Yeah.
And I think this morning when you were speaking, it became very clear, I'm just checking it, that if creation requires knowledge, then that knowledge must come before creation. Therefore, essentially, nothing can be created. It has to already exist. It already has to, in the unmanifest.
Yes.
So is that in simple terms? That makes sense. That's logical.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I understand.
In fact, finally, what is much subtler, what is to be understood much subtly is, there is no such a thing called ignorance. There is no such a thing called matter. What is only knowledge, only consciousness. To resolve the matter in consciousness is the most difficult thing that we'll be doing gradually. Okay? We'll understand. Because now it's only a beginning, isn't it? I don't want to say now itself. This should result in. How the tasmat means Ishwarat, antaryam Ishwarat. Yetad Brahma stands for Hiranyagarbha, subtle manifestation. The rest of the three words stand for Virat, the gross manifestation, which means nothing is created. What was unmanifest has become manifest. But this unmanifest becoming manifest is creation, looked upon as creation. But unmanifest becoming manifest is within the realm of an order. Therefore, we also we say Ishvara visualized. Visualization. Why visualization is mentioned? Because it involves natural law and order. It's not that somebody is made suddenly. Okay, you become an intelligent person. You become a dull person. Okay, you become a poor person. Not that Bhagavan suddenly just like makes somebody like that. There is law and order involved. This subtle, see, the more and more and more we study Shastram, the more and more we understand subtly the Ishvara being the law and order, the more we will develop the Ishvara Prasada Buddhi. The least will be complaining about anybody, anything in the world. We appreciate law of karma much better. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.